Amen. It's a great name. It's a wonderful name. Bible says there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is. And when you said that name, you have said everything, because Jesus is everything. Everything you need him to be. Even though you may not be able to say what you need, when you say the name of Jesus, you have said everything. Amen. I'm glad I know that name. That name is Jesus. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, and also 10 through 11. And what an incredible season that we are in. Amen. The season of Christmas. And I love this season. And there are people that get mad that we celebrate this season. They get mad that we have lights. They get mad that we have trees. They just get mad in general. And they want to blame it on, well, it's a pagan holiday and it's a pagan tree. Who cares about the pagans? I'm not celebrating a pagan. I'm celebrating him. I'm remembering him and what he did for me. If you don't want a tree, that's okay. I'm going to have a tree. You don't want lights? That's okay. I'm going to have lights, because I'm celebrating him, not celebrating anybody else. And I love the Christmas season. You could take the Christ out of Christmas and put the X if you want on it, but I ain't taking the Christ out of Christmas. It's Christmas to me. Hallelujah. And hopefully it's Christmas to you. It is a Christ-centered season. And matter of fact, it should not just be celebrated in December. Should be celebrated all year. Amen. I believe we put lights up even before Thanksgiving hit. And my daughter was like, what? You've already put light? You better believe we did. We're going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. There's an old Sunday school song that says, won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Amen. Anybody got the light shining in your life? Amen. Here's the great part about it. If you don't have the light shine in your life, today's a great day to shine it on. Shine it on for Jesus till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Amen. I may bust out in songs today. I just feel in a song singing mood. Hallelujah. Sign me up today. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Verse 10 says it this, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. What did you bring? That person asked you, said, what did you bring? Amen. God bless you. May be seated. One of our Christmas traditions is that there were three wise men, Balthasar, Melchior, and Gaspar, that traveled from the far east on camels to visit the infant Jesus as he laid there in a manger. Matter of fact, if you were to go to our house and you found in our dining room, you will see three wise men on camels bearing gifts. They're there. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible contains virtually none of these details. Matthew doesn't say how many wise men came from the east. It has just generally been assumed that these wise men were three in number because they bore the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But he doesn't name or mention their names. He doesn't even provide any details about how they made their journey. Nothing in the Bible says the wise men rode camels or any other animals or drove cars. The Bible just states, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, they could have made their journey from the east on foot, for all we know. But Matthew doesn't give that much detail on them because it really wasn't about the wise men. It wasn't about how many there were. It wasn't about how they traveled. It wasn't about if they walked on foot or if they rode a camel, because it really doesn't matter, because it wasn't about the wise men. It was all about him. It was all about this whole passage, this whole story. It was all about the king. It was all about Jesus. It was all about him. Somebody shout, it was all about him. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate lights. I like lights. I like the trees. I like all the signs, but it's not about that. It's not about mistletoe. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the creator of this world coming down to his creation and being born. That's why we celebrate Jesus. We don't celebrate the camels. We don't celebrate the wise men, but we come to celebrate him. Anybody come to celebrate Jesus today? Anybody come to celebrate the king today? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so despite the familiar Christmas carol that we sing, We Three Kings, there is no biblical source that depicts that there was three wise men as kings. They were most likely, though, learned men. Perhaps they were even astrologers. And most importantly, they did not find the baby Jesus in a manger. Hate to burst your bubble. Hate to ruin your theology today. We have the wonderful nativity scene where we have the shepherds and we have the wise men. I don't want to burst your bubble today, but I'm telling you, the wise men did not find Jesus in a manger. Although Jesus was born in a manger, they did not find him there, because Matthew says that the wise men came into the house, not into the stable. And they saw a young child, not an infant and not a baby. This would indicate that the wise men didn't arrive until quite some time after the birth of Jesus. Probably about 2 years later, since Herod killed every male child in Bethlehem 2 years old and younger. That's quite a long and difficult journey that they had to endure just to go see him. Just to go and see the prophecy fulfilled. And one of the most amazing things about these wise men to me is that they understood what God's own people missed. Because they understood, Brother Jose, they understood who he was. They understood who they wanted to see. They understood the prophecy. And they believed the prophecy. They knew that Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to what? Worship him. The wise men proclaimed that we want to see him. We've seen a star from the east, and we are come to worship him. So the fact of the matter is this: who cares how long the journey was? Who really cares if they rode a camel or if they came on foot? And who cares how many there were? Because it wasn't about them. It was all about him. It was about celebrating a king. It was about worshiping Jesus. Who cares that people say, well, it's a pagan tradition and you shouldn't celebrate Christmas. You shouldn't have your Christmas trees. You shouldn't have your lights because you're going to be. I'm not celebrating a pagan. I'm celebrating Jesus. It was God that manifested himself in the flesh. It was the prophecy that came to fulfillment. That's why these wise men, they saw the star. The Bible said they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So the question is, why did they rejoice? Why did they get excited? Why were they happy? Why do we come to church? Why do we clap our hands? Why do we run the aisles? Why do we shout? Why do we get emotional? I'm going to tell you why. Because the Savior of the world was born. God manifested in the flesh. Divinity took on humanity. And they came and saw the star, and they were saying, the King is here. We came to see him. We came to celebrate him. We came for him. That's why they got excited. That's why there was excitement in the air from the wise men. And here's the deal. The religious order of that day missed it. The Pharisees missed it. The Sadducees missed it. Even God's own elect, God's people missed it. But these astrologers, here's that word, pagan wise men, made a 2-year journey from the far east just to worship the Lord Jesus with only a star to guide them by night. Can I tell you, they didn't have GPS. They did not have a navigation system. They did not have Siri. They did not have Google. They did not have a digital map to guide them. All they had was a star that guided their footsteps on a 2-year journey. Pretty amazing. They had to struggle with rough terrain. They had to struggle with cold. Today we walk there and go, ooh, that's cold. It's nothing like these three wise men had to deal with. And for 2 years, they just had the star. The chief priest and the scribes who knew all about the prophecies didn't even travel 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. That's what it was. They knew the prophecies. They heard them be spoken of. And they wouldn't even go 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to just check out the miraculous signs that were being fulfilled. Because their problem was they had become too familiar with their own religion. They lost the wonder of it. They forgot about the signs of his coming. And sometimes if we're not careful, we will lose the wonder of it. We'll lose the wonder of his presence. The amazement of his glory. Like we felt already here this morning, where the power of God moved in. But there's something about the common, something about the ordinary, and the religious order of that day, they missed it. But not these wise pagan men that traveled 2 years with just a star. And notice this. Understand this. All that these wise men had to endure just to see the King, just to come to church. They didn't care what time of the day it was. Didn't care how cold, how hot it was, but they came, they traveled, and understand that they were not coming to pad their pockets. They were not coming to say, hey, look at me, I showed up. They were not coming to somehow get something. These wise men spent their resources for 2 years. How much does it take for you to eat one meal or 3 meals in a day? I know now you go to Carl's Jr. and you'll spend $10 to $11 on just one meal. I remember back in the day, we were talking about, someone said something about a Whopper, you know, getting it for, I think it was Brother Ray. He got 2 Whoppers and fries and 2 drinks for how much? $8.99. And he was like, Pastor, that's a great deal. And I'm like, I remember the day you could get a Whopper for 99 cents. I remember the day I could put a gallon of gas and it only cost me 65 cents. And I know Brother McIntosh is probably cheaper when you started driving. But think about it. These wise men, for 2 years, they spent money on food. No doubt they probably at one time or another spent money on lodging. But they came to see the prophecy fulfilled. They say it came to see God manifested in the flesh. I know they missed the birth. I know they missed the stable, but they didn't let that miss their opportunity to come see the king. And they weren't coming to say, look at me, but they were coming to give. Give something. They were coming to worship. They were coming to offer a gift. Because they understood, you never come before the king empty-handed. You never go to a king without a gift. You never come without presenting something to the king. You always bring a gift. And they came not to receive, but they came to give. Even Solomon, the history's most powerful, wealthy, intelligent ruler, must have said to himself many times this question: who will love me more than the things that I can give them? So there's a lot of people that only love God on what God can give you. And Solomon came to the conclusion, who's going to love me? Not based on what I can give to them. Where there are people more interested in touching my heart than in sampling my splendor. He says, who's interested, Solomon said, in my needs? And that's why we find in the book of Solomon that he falls in love with a Shulamite girl because she loved him for him, not because he was king. She had no idea he was the king. Read the story. It's an incredible love story. And the people, they fell in love with one another because they weren't coming to receive. They were coming to give to one another. And so I wonder, what does Jesus wonder? Do we come before him to get, or do we come before him to give? Because a lot of us, we know the Bible where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's okay on that part, but we love the end of it. And all these things shall be added unto me. People, there are people that only give because they have an ulterior motive because of what they expect to get back. These wise men did not have that mentality. They weren't looking, what can I get back? What can I receive? No, they were saying, what can I give? What can I present to my king? And so the question of the hour is this: on the time where we celebrate Christmas and in this Christmas season, the question of the hour is this: what have you brought to the king? What are you willing to give? Don't worry, Pastor's not looking for an offering. But my question is this: are you only in it for what you can get? Are you only in it for the blessings? Are you only in it for the miracles? Are you only in it for the fish and the bread and the loaves and the signs and the miracles and what you can gain? Or are you here really to celebrate him and to worship him and to give to him? What have you brought to the king? What did you bring? What did you come with, even on this Sunday morning? Why did you come here? Why did you show up today? David says it like this in Psalms 100 verse 4. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. That's how we are to come in the house of the Lord. It's with thanksgiving. But can I pause and tell you, even though that's how we're supposed to come, let me tell you, the very first part of that, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the lowest form of worship because it is dependent on the question, what have you done for me lately? And thousands of people go to church today because of what God has done for them. Now, don't get me wrong, we need to be thankful for what he has done. But that should not be the driving force on why we come to him. Not for what he has done, but for what I can give, what I can bring my king. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. I've come to here to let him know how thankful I am. But not only that, but I'm going to then enter into the next part, into his courts with praise. Somebody shout praise. Praise is a higher level of worship that takes you further into the presence of God. It's not just thanking God for what he has done, it's praising God for who he is. God is worthy of praise whether you're having a good day or you're having a bad day. Praise is not dependent upon you having a lot of money in your bank account or no money in your bank account. Praise is the fact that I'm going to give God praise independent of my life circumstance. And when I start giving him praise and I start glorifying him, guess what happens? He even says it in his word, I inhabit, I dwell, I abide where there is praise. You want to get God's attention? Give him praise. You want to let God begin to bless you and be around you? Just give him praise. Well, Pastor, you don't know what kind of day I have. Pastor, you don't know how I feel. Pastor, you don't know this and you don't know that and you don't know all the aches and pains. Yeah, but I know something about praise. See, the enemy wants to silence your praise. The enemy wants to dictate your worship. The enemy wants to say there is no reason to shout. There's no reason to give God praise. There's no reason to give God thanksgiving. Why? Because look at your life. All hell is coming against you. Yeah, but listen up. I'm going to give God praise and express my gratitude to him because I know when I give him praise, it confuses the enemy. And when I start to praise him, then all of a sudden heaven begins to take notice. And Jesus said, stop it right here, boys. There's somebody praising me. Stop it right here. I'm going to abide. I'm going to dwell where there is praise. You can turn things around when you praise God. When you understand, you know what? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to praise him when it feels good, but I'm also going to praise him when it doesn't feel good. I'm going to praise him when family life is going well, but I'm going to praise him when family life isn't going well and my spouse doesn't like me. I'm still going to praise him. Why? Because God can come through. That's thanksgiving and that's praise. And praise is a higher form of worship than thanksgiving is. But can I tell you, not only praise is higher, but worship. Worship costs a little bit more because worship is the highest form of praise. Because now you start to worship God, not just for the fact that he inhabits and he dwells, but when you worship God, it's nothing predicated on what he's done, on what he's going to do, but worship is just worshiping for who he is. You've just somehow walked into a new dimension of now you have fallen in love with him. And it doesn't matter if they're singing my favorite song or if they're singing a song that I don't really care for. I'm still going to walk into the atmosphere of worship. There's an old song that says, I shall not be moved. I can worship God even if we sing, I shall not be moved. Because worship will never be predicated on my current circumstance. Worship, I come in and the lights could be off and nobody in the pew and I can worship him because of how great he is. That's what worship is. It's the highest form of praise. And the only thing necessary to praise God is this. You just gotta have breath. Doesn't Psalmist David say it in Psalms 150 verse 6? Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. If you'll just put your finger by your wrist, I believe every one of you will feel a pulse. And that pulse represents you have breath and you are breathing. If you don't have a pulse, means you're not breathing. So I'm going to tell you, doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how rich you are, doesn't matter how poor, when you start breathing and you start having a pulse, and there is something, it may not be a fast pulse. It may be very slow because you're on your last leg and you're like, I don't know if I can make it again. But if you'll just feel something and you'll start worshiping God and you'll start saying, God, I just want to thank you for my breath. I want to thank you for another day. I want to thank you that I'm above ground. I can bellyache because of all the pains and aches and all the turmoil that life has brought me, but I haven't come for a pity party. I haven't come to say how bad it is. I just come to say how good you are and how wonderful you are and how blessed you are. I'm blessed because of you. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. It's not unreasonable. God's not requiring anything of you that you can't perform. Revelations 4:10 through 11 says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. Cast their crowns before the throne. Have you ever stopped about that? Because we've always talked about, I can't wait to get my crown. I can't wait to get another jewel in my crown. I can't wait to pad my crown up. Have you ever talked about your crown and how beautiful it's going to be and all the rubies it's going to be? Listen, when you start understanding that all the stuff that you've done now reflect on your crown, but then you throw it at the feet of the Lord, you're saying, God, I don't care what I've done or what I've achieved because it means nothing compared to you. And that's what the elders do. That's what's going on there. They're throwing down their crowns. They're removing their crowns before the loom, and they're saying this to the Lord, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. I'm just here to celebrate you. I'm just here to tell you how thankful I am just to come into your presence. There's something about that day. Something about that incredible day. I believe I taught about it this year. Maybe it was a year before. But I talked about the glories of heaven. I think it was a 2 or 3 week series. I don't know. But I believe we talked about heaven. But the glorious thing about heaven, it's not going to be the gates of pearl. Not pearls, pearl. Huge gates of pearl. It's not going to be the streets of gold. You're not going to have to get your crowbar and start breaking up the pavement and grabbing you bricks of gold and putting your backpack saying, oh, it's going to be your pavement. And the crystal seas. And all these great things that are going to be there. No more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more parting, no more hurting, no more aching. Thank God for that. But all of that is going to mean nothing in comparison to him. You could take all the beauties. You could take all the splendors. But just give me Jesus. That's what I'm looking for. And that's what these guys were doing around the throne. They're saying, look, nothing in this life matters. It's beauty. It's wonderful. Thank God for this crown. Thank God for the rubies. But I could do without them. I just want you. Because you, Lord, deserve honor and praise and glory. When you get a revelation on who he is, you can't praise him enough. You can't worship him enough. Matter of fact, there are people that even say, Pastor, you're always talking about praise and you're always talking about worship. Well, listen, you'll never exhaust that subject, because from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name shall be praised. Not your name, not your pedigree, not on look what you have done, but his name shall be praised. And these pagan wise men did not come empty-handed. They came to give. Notice what they gave. What'd they give, Brother Miller? Gold. Frankincense. Forget about it. He did that one time at a Christmas banquet. Forget about it. Wise guys. He was a wise guy. But they brought, one of them brought gold. And if you'll look it up, you look up the history of how much that gold was worth. It was not on the Happy Meal sign. It was not a 99-cent Whopper. It was not two Whoppers, fries, and two Cokes for $8.99, even though it's a great deal. I was rejoicing the other day when gas got under at $4 and it got down to three, whatever. I think it was $2.97, I think what I saw the lowest just a few days ago. But they didn't come with just a little bit of gold. That gold was equivalent to our time, over $500,000. You look it up. They brought gold. You say, Pastor, that's an extravagant gift. Really? Who are you giving it to? In comparison to what he is. Because there are people saying, well, look what I gave. Look how much I brought. It's not the dollar amount. It's how you bring it. And what you understand. That even though it may be worth $500,000, it's nothing in comparison to who he is and what he has done for my life. And they came not to give, but to get, but to give. And so the gold was over $500,000. Can I tell you, the frankincense was more. And the myrrh was more. They brought the king extravagant gifts because they wanted everybody to know, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And so the question of the hour is this: what did you bring to the king? How do you honor a king? Do you just give something that was handed down to you? Do you give something that was just lying around? You just give something that really required no thought. It didn't really cost you anything. Or if you truly reflect on life, do you really do try and give him your very best? Do you try and present the most precious gift you can? Sister Philpott, I am convinced that November, December should be the greatest gift in contributions than any other part of the year. Because of who we're celebrating. Thank God for the gifts that we give our spouses and family members and friends, but we should give the greatest gift to the King. We should give priceless fragrance to the King. Listen, Pastor is not preaching about money. I'm not preaching about an offering because people always say, Pastor, I'm talking about you being blessed. Understanding the principle. Understanding what God has done for you. Can I read it in John chapter 12, verse 3? I'm going to wrap it up. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Very costly. Why did she bring something that was costly? What did Jesus ever do for Mary? What did he forgive her of? Did he take away pain, sorrow, past regrets, hurts, and lives? Did he put her life back together again? You better believe he did, and more. He gave a lot to Mary. And the Bible said, she took a pound of ointment of spikenard, a very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And I believe if you look up how much that ointment was, I believe it was either a year or 2 years. I wanted to say 2 years, but it was at least a year. a year of wages that she opened up the box, opened up the fragrance, and she put it on his feet. And the odor filled the room. That's what worship and praise does. When we worship and praise God, we change the climate. We change like we felt that earlier today. And I feel it here right now, strongly in the Holy Ghost. We feel it. And she did what she could. And I'm going to tell you, there are times in life when you're going to do your very best. And you have done your very best. You've prayed a long prayer. You've fasted a long period of time. You've given a lot of money. You've devoted time. And it seems like in the instant you do that, the attacks of hell grow stronger. And the reason why, because the enemy is very afraid of you. And the enemy does not want you to realize that if you keep doing what you're doing, you're walking through supernatural. You're walking through miracles. You're walking after the anointing. So the enemy tries to trip you up and tries to attack your body, attack your mind, attack your home in hopes that you'll throw in the towel and you'll forget about it. But if you'll keep doing what you know to do, God's saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because the minute that she broke the box and put the ointment on his feet, then saith one of the religious folk, or one of his disciples, one of the 12, one of the super spiritual, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? A lot of people. Why is he driving that? Why are they building that? They could have sold that and given to the poor. There's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be haters. Verse 6 says this, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. God says, will a man rob God? They said, where have we robbed you? Lord said, in tithes and offerings. If you're a robber, you are a thief. And Judas got mad over somebody giving, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And there is a thief out there that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, trying to take you out, trying to take away all the stuff that God wants to give to you. And if we'll listen to the thief, it'll rob us of the blessings. And many don't understand this principle as they look on what they can give and not what they can, or what they can get and not what they can give. Because they look at the giver that gives with disgust, because they know they could never do that. In life, there are two kinds of people, a giver and a taker, or a spiritual hitchhiker. Preached that years ago. Hitchhikers not willing to pay for gas, not willing to pay for insurance. Tell you how things should get done, but they'll never roll up their sleeves and work because they're takers. But givers say, you know what? I come to bring something to my Lord. I come to give him, even though it hurts. Even though my body doesn't feel good, I'm bearing him a gift. And when you do that, the supernatural begins to unfold in your life. You never come before a king with an empty hand, but you come with hands raised, saying, Lord, I'm going to give you worship and I'm going to give you praise. Would you stand to your feet with me tonight, this morning? There's a place in the Bible where God told Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to bless you. And God blesses Abraham with what? A son. His miracle. But then God says, take your miracle. Take your son who you love and offer him to me. Give me your boy. Give me your family. Give me your kids. Give me your marriage. Give it back to me. And Abraham said, Lord, I'm going to give to you. And he takes his boy with him. And mama said, where are you going? And Abraham says, me and the lad are going up yonder to worship. We're going up yonder to give. We're not looking for anything, but we're giving. I'm going to give my lad to him. Because Jesus asked of me to give to him. And we're coming with offering of worship. That's what he did. And because he did, he heard the voice of God that said, do not slay your son. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider. I'm everything you need me to be because you have learned to give to me. The question of the hour is, what did you bring? Lift your voice all across this place. Come on, there's a God. There's a God that deserves the highest praise,
worship,
the best worship, the greatest gift.
Here I am.
I give it to you, God. I've seen your star. I've come with the praise in my lips. I've come with a shout. I've come with a dance. Hallelujah. Come on. The King is here. The King was born for you. The Savior of the world came. We celebrate him. We worship him. We give him worship. We give him glory. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice. Let's give him our best.
Bowing down.
Hallelujah.
Spirit and truth.
Come on. I know it's been hard. I know it's been difficult. I know it hasn't made sense. But somebody step in the dimension of faith. Somebody step in the dimension that gets God's attention in the dimension of praise and the dimension of worship.
I am worshiping.
Hallelujah.
I'm bowing down.
Hallelujah.
Spirit and truth.
I give it to you, God. I give it to you, God.
Worship.
Hallelujah.
Take this offering.
Come on, all across the building.
Humbly I fall.
Let's just love on him. We've got some time. We've got a moment. I've come to worship you.
My life's nothing.
Help me, God,
without you,
to become a giver.
Take my hand and
help me, God, to learn that you control my tomorrow. You can control my future.
I live.
I give my family to you. I give my marriage to you. I give my children to you. Everything I have, everything I possess, I bring it to you. I know it's not a lot. I know it's not much. But I worship. I worship.
Here I am, worshiping you with all I am, worshiping you.
Come on, fill this house.
bowing down in spirit and truth. Lord, I lift my hands and I worship.
Come on. This is the greatest thing you could do in your life. It's the greatest thing you could do in your family. It's the greatest thing you could do in your home, to give God.
Spirit and truth.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
With lifted hands.
We celebrate you.
Worshiping you.
We celebrate you.
And here I am, God.
Nobody like you, Jesus.
Worshiping you.
Nobody like you, God.
With all I am. Worshiping you. I'm bowing down.
Hallelujah.
Lifted hands, worshiping you. Here I am, Lord. I'm worshiping you, God. Everything I have. Oh,
oh, I feel something in the air. I feel something in the sanctuary. I feel that odor. I feel that fragrance filling the house. Hallelujah. I give it to you, God.
Here I am. Worshiping you. All I am.
All I am.
Worship you.
Hallelujah.
Bowing down.
Hallelujah.
Worshiping you. Oh, I'm not ashamed of you, Lord.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Not ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm not ashamed.
I love you, God.
Jesus, we're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed
of you.
Jesus, we're not ashamed
of you.
We're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed. I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you.
Oh, yes, I am.
I'm gonna worship.
I'ma worship you.
Forever.
I'ma worship you.
Worship you.
I'ma worship you.
I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you. Worship you, Lord, forever. We're gonna worship you, God. We're gonna worship you.
I'm gonna worship.
Forever.
I'm gonna worship. I'm gonna
worship you. We're gonna worship you
forever.
We're gonna worship.
I'm gonna worship you.
We're gonna worship.
Come see a king
forever.
We're come worship a king.
Oh, I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship forever. Here I am, worshiping you. With all I am, worshiping you, bowing down, spirit and truth, with lifted hands. gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you forever.
Celebrate him, love him, seek to give to him. Not just Sunday, Wednesday. Give him your life. Give him you. Give him your marriage. Give him your home. Just put him where he belongs. Number one. Because if you put God number one in your life and you'll live for God hard, it becomes easy. When you fall in love with him and you say, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to worship him. God will bless your life. Amen. Find somebody. Love somebody. Amen. Stay here as long as you like. Make sure you're here tonight, 5:30 for prayer, 6 o'clock evangelistic service. God bless you. Amen. Give him you.